Well, good evening, Vita Bible Church. I want to just begin by reading some words of Scripture to us. I invite you just to listen and let these words of Jesus speak to you. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We didn't think we would need to hear these words in a context such as the one we are facing today, but here they are. Words of Scripture absolutely relevant for us today. God knew. We hear this passage and we know we're not supposed to worry, but we need to be reminded how Jesus tells his hearers not to worry. Don't worry, he says. How? Listen again to what he says. This is Matthew 6:25. He tells them, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Among other things, the resource Christ points his followers to, we who are prone to worrying, the resource he points us to is not a detailed, systematic explanation of God's overarching orchestration of the cosmos after the counsel of his predetermined infallible will. No, he points us to birds. I don't know what kind of birds. Maybe it was McDonald's birds he had in mind. So that's what we called them. I'm not sure what they're really called. Seagulls? Some kind of white, I'll-eat-anything kind of bird? Or maybe it was pigeons. Those all live anywhere, get trampled under your foot kind of bird. Pick your birds, the birds of the air, the birds that come to your feeder if you have one, the birds that sit on your fence posts, even the birds... Sorry, Clausens, who crash into your windows. Consider the birds of the air. Look at them. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns. They don't have a 2-month subsistence plan worked out. They don't have an emergency windfall at the bank. They aren't even thinking about tomorrow or anything much beyond what they're doing right now. Look, Jesus says, your heavenly Father feeds them. God cares about a little bird without its ever worrying about it. Are you not of more value than they? A little later on in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew 10:29, Jesus again will tell his followers, are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. The point for us here is that the way to win when we worry is sometimes to turn off the news, to step outside our door, and yes, we are still allowed to do that, and to go bird watching. Spring is here, believe it or not. The forecast is favorable. The birds are coming back. They didn't get the news warning not to fly home. They're coming. You watch them as they come. You remember that your heavenly Father is taking care of them. You don't need to worry. You say, maybe you're not a bird person. So Jesus gives us another object lesson here. He says, "And which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If you're not seeing the birds, go look at the lilies, go look at the flowers." Over a week ago, I've posted a picture. My mother sent me a picture of a lily. It's on the webpage there. I encourage you to take a look. Maybe you have flowers of your own at home you can look at. In the coming days, we hope to see more green stuff poking up through the snow. Again, these flowers, these plants didn't get the notice that they should stay hidden underground. They're going to poke up their little heads come what may, and God is going to clothe them. God is going to clothe them in lavish display. And so Jesus tells his followers in verse 30 of Matthew 6, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." If God remembers the birds and the lilies, if he hasn't forgotten to care about them, know that in these days neither has he forgotten, neither will he forget to care for you. Of course, this isn't a cause to be reckless. This isn't a call to be heedless or to fail to do our part. But it's a call to rest in the gracious provision of our all-knowing Heavenly Father, of a God who knows. Whatever it is that we are worried about today, that job which you're wondering if it's going to last, those very real physical needs to get out, to connect, to grow and flourish as human beings, God knows. He's not blindsided by any of this. He knows. And here Jesus gives us two visual pictures, things to turn our minds to help us to see, to remember that God knows. So what must we do? As we watch the birds, as we see the flowers growing, as the cows have babies, as their mothers give milk, as the sun comes up and the stars come out, as our children play and all creation continues in its glorious chorus, as we behold so many wonderful manifestations of God's unchanging love and care, how should we respond? Verse 33, Jesus tells us, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Make your first priority living a life that is pleasing in the sight of your heavenly Father, of the Father who knows what you need, of the Father who has and who will provide for you. Make your first priority living a life fitting for his kingdom as you live out the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As you live a life that is in keeping with the gospel you have heard of how Christ came and gave up his life for us, of how he loved us with an everlasting love. As we live a life that encourages others to know the Savior. As we live a life that makes for peace. These are the matters which should concern us in these days. Seek first, Jesus says, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, because we have a God who knows. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We want to know how all this will turn out. We want to know what our lives will be like a week, a month, even a year from now. And yet, as James tells us, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life, he says, for you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Much as we like to think we're constant, we're solid, we're in control, we're really more like birds than we care to think. Certainly of much more value to God than birds, yet still very vulnerable. We're really a lot like grass, which is here today and tomorrow is gone. If that is who we are, if that is the measure of our days, then we need to be looking above all to a wise Heavenly Father who knows exactly who we are and what we need. And we need to be asking him what his will for our lives is today. Father, how do we seek your kingdom and your righteousness? We need to be looking to his word, which, when these physical bodies wither and fade, yet his word remains forever. And we need to pray. We need to pray to that end, as Jesus tells his followers a little earlier in the same chapter. He teaches them to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. We want to take a few minutes to a little bit of time to pray together tonight as a church body. And how we want to do that is to pray as we've done before. We want to pray the Lord's Prayer. But I'm going to simply read out lines of the Lord's Prayer, and I want each one of us to fill in the details in our own lives. So, for example, we say, Our Father in heaven, what is that? Hallowed be thy name. Well, what does that look like? Maybe we can pray, God, I pray that in that relationship at work that I would honor your name with that individual. We pray, give us this day our daily bread. Maybe that's a specific thing for you right now. God, provide a job. God, please help me to keep a job, whatever it is. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. That might mean a specific thing in your life right now. And so we're going to go through this prayer line by line. And I invite you to us all to pray together through this prayer, each of these subjects that Jesus taught us to pray. Let's pray together. And after leaving a little bit of time for each line, we'll go on to the next one. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Scripture calls us to, when we bring our petitions, to also come to God with thanksgiving. Let's take a few moments to thank God for his provision for us in these days. As we see in the Psalms, Scripture calls us to be honest with God. What are the particular fears, the particular frustrations that you're experiencing in these days? Would you bring those honestly to your Heavenly Father now? In the Scriptures, we repeatedly see people acknowledging who God is in their prayers. What is it about God that encourages you in these days? How has He revealed Himself to you? Acknowledge that to Him, who He is right now. We're going to continue in prayer. This recording is going to end. I invite you to continue praying as this recording ends. And two things in particular that we can be praying for in these days. One, Scripture calls us to be pray for kings and those in authority. And so we pray for our leaders, that God would give wisdom and direction and strength to those on the front lines, that God would equip and enable them for His glory and for the good of people. And also, will we pray for one another? We are the body of Christ, individually members of it, and one of the special ministries we can have in these days is to pray particularly for one another. If you have a church list, or just bring before God individuals that He lays on your heart from this, from Vita Bible Church. So let's take some time to continue in prayer together. God bless you. May God be glorified in us.